Thankful that souls were saved. Thankful that souls were saved. Thankful that new members were added. Thankful that we went forward for Christ. And especially thankful that we did all that without changing and compromising and being something opposite of what we've been. And we're the same as we've always been since we've been here. And it's just tremendous to be a part of this church, and truly excited to be even more part of it and this next year. So if you'd stand for the reading of God's word, I would appreciate it. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in mine heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up into the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." And if you'll turn just a few pages over to chapter 6. Verse number 15. The Bible says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for just the opportunity to stand before these people. And I pray, God, you would help me to clearly present the message that you placed on my heart. Help us to go in this new year ready to serve you better. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in Nehemiah chapter 2, we see a very desolate situation. Jerusalem itself is in a bad state. Jerusalem had seen destruction because of how far they had gone away from God, and how captivity had taken the majority of the people away, and they had gone to a place that was not their home. And so Jerusalem, the Bible says in verse 13, the second part says, "The walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, the gates thereof were consumed with fire." So it was a totally destroyed place. And in those days, a city was protected very greatly with a wall. And of course, nowadays we hear a lot of politicians talking about a wall. They're wanting to put up a wall. But even more so back then, that a wall had much to do. And the size of Jerusalem, if you could just imagine, was about, I read, about 220 acres or something like a large neighborhood type of thing. And so there was a great work to be done. If we can imagine like a large neighborhood, I grew up in a pretty big neighborhood, and trying to put a wall with the tools they had and all the instruments that they would have used to try and put a wall up, it would have been a great task. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible says, this is the end of the matter. "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month in 52 days. So in a little less than 2 months, they had this area that was full of broken down, and it was completely flattened, and the gates were on fire, and it was a terrible situation in Jerusalem. And in 52 days, they had rebuilt everything. They had put it all back together. Jerusalem was safe. Jerusalem was secure. And they were able to, after this, have peace and safety and security once again in the capital city of Israel. So how did it go from burnt down walls and gates and lying in waste, the Bible says, to a protected, functioning city within 52 days? It's funny because in the state of Indiana, it takes about 5 years to build half a mile of road on the interstate. But they were able to do all this in 52 days. So the reason why and what God has shown in his word, and we can see the example in the chapters in between what had happened. In chapter 3, we see, you look in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Haniel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zechariah the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasesa build, which also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof." So on and on it goes, and if we had more than 15 minutes, I'd go through every single one. Well, maybe not every single one, but you would understand the fact that they were together on this, that these workers understood exactly what they had to do. The workers knew that the work they had to do was important. And so they were focused on what was right in front of them. And the Bible says in chapter 3, all throughout it, there's at least 40 plus names of people, or 40 plus groups of people that had a part and took place in rebuilding the walls. So they focused on their responsibility. And they focused on the work that God had for them. They understood that this was a great work. This was a great need in their life. And if Jerusalem was going to be the center of what God had for them, they had to have a place of protection. And they had to do this great work. And what we have to understand in this New Testament Christianity age is that what we're doing in this church is a great work. What we're doing for the Lord is a great thing. And that it's not going to get done just by one person or a few people. That it's going to have to be many, many people that give of themselves and say, "This is important. This is what God has for us." It wasn't Nehemiah. Nehemiah himself could have not put together a wall to cover 220 acres of land. It would have taken him years, and he would have not been able to get it all together. There's no way he could have done it on his own. So What I like to think of in picture when it talks about they were side by side is I just like to think of the guys, you know, shoulder by shoulder, and the guy's just focusing on his one section. I just have my part, and I'm doing the fish gate, and you're doing the part over here, and you're doing this part of the wall. And shoulder by shoulder, side by side, they had a focus on the responsibility God had for them. And there's responsibilities in this church that our pastor cannot do in and of himself. Pastor cannot stand up here and preach on Sunday and also take care of the nursery and also be in the junior church and also do all the different things that need to be done every Sunday. It's our responsibilities as church members to get the work done. We can't do it. God has a specific thing for us to do individually in this church. If you're a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, it wasn't so somebody could sit in a pew. That's not why God put you in this place. God put you in this place for a reason. And these men in the book of Nehemiah, they had their one specific task. And God had given them the skill. God had given them the ability to do that task. In chapter 4, verse 6, we see the heart of them. The heart of those that were there. The Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And this is one of my favorite sayings, one of my favorite understandings about the book of Nehemiah, is that they weren't just at their position, at their post, trying to get by. You know, I don't know how many people you've worked in a job, and I'm sure anybody that's worked in a job, hopefully this wasn't you. You know the guy that was there that was just doing enough so he didn't get fired. That just... He slacked off a little bit, and he figured out, where's the border where I can do it, and the boss won't get on me, and I'll be able to keep my job, and I don't really care that much about this job. I just have to have a job, so this is my job. And a lot of people have that, and Lord willing, that's not you, because everything we should do, we do unto the Lord, and we should have a right heart about it, and we should be a testimony in our workplace, but you know the guy that's that way. Well, in Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, the Bible says that none of them had those attitudes. None of them tried to cruise along. Nobody tried to do just a little bit. And sometimes we can even get in a place where we get tired in the work, and we get tired in ministries and those type of things, and we just kind of, well, I know how to skate along in this ministry. I know how to get by without, I mean, without giving it my heart, without giving it my all. I can just kind of fake it for a little bit. And if we're going to be like those in Nehemiah, if we're going to do a great work, we have to have a mind to work. If we're going to do what God wants us to do in the ministries he has called us in that one section, like that one place that Nehemiah, the men in Nehemiah's day that were working on the wall, we have to have a mind to do it. We have to focus on it. And the fact is, it is work. It's work. It's not easy to do great things for God. It's not easy to do the ministries that God has for us. I understand, and I'm just coming from it, that you work a secular job and you put time and effort in that, and you have a family and you have kids to raise and you have so much to do on your plate, and you have to add on ministries at a church also. I understand it's tough and it's going to take work, but it's fulfilling. It's so fulfilling when you put in the work to God's work. It's so fulfilling when you give yourself to it, more than when you just cruise by and you just kind of come up with, how can I get together 10, 15 minutes of a Sunday school lesson for these kids? How can I just kind of say the same things and kind of repeat myself and always throw in the gospel type of things? But, and I'm not accusing anybody, I'm not saying anything, but what I'm saying is that if you have a mind to work, you're going to give it your all. You're going to do everything you have in that. It takes work. It takes physical work. There's a lot of things around here that take physical work. There's a lot of activities that we're going to need some physical labor. We're going to need some physical health, but it takes mental effort too. You have to get focused. You have to get into it. So Nehemiah and those men in those days, they understood, and they had it's one of my favorite verses, for the people had a mind to work, and would to God the Lighthouse Baptist Church would have a mind to work in 2016. And in chapter 4, verse 1, we see the fact that there's opposition to the work of God. If you're trying to do a great work for God, there's going to be opposition. Verse 1, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubble? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that by which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone walls." See, there is a real adversary. There is a real enemy. There is someone who's trying to destroy what we have in this church. And Satan himself is trying to discourage and mock and use the world to ridicule us. But what Nehemiah understood was that he had the ability to overcome those oppositions. He had the ability to get past that. We have to understand that Nehemiah had the right by the law to do what he was doing, but ridicule and opposition still came in. And we in America still have the right to stand up behind a pulpit and preach what thus saith the Lord, but there's going to be opposition. There's going to be ridicule. There's going to be people out there who make fun of us. And even if the nation as a whole thinks we're ridiculous and we're doing things that are old-fashioned and are past their time, we understand what the Bible says, and we don't have to listen to those ridicules. We don't have to listen to the mockeries. We can focus on God and his word. And we see in verse 4, we see exactly what Nehemiah did about this opposition, about the mockery, the ridicule. It says, "Hear, O God, hear, O our God." So what he does is he takes it to God. When opposition comes, when ridicule comes, when mockery comes, prayer should be the first thing that we do. We should turn to God and say, "Dear God, this situation's coming." And Nehemiah, in his place, understood that the people, they needed to look to God. And he was the leader. And he didn't want the people to lose that mind to work and to fall off. So as the leadership, he said, "I can't do it, God. Help me." And he says, "Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach to their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So what he does is he says, "God, we have opposition. We have those mocking us, making fun of us. Turn it on them. Help us to overcome this. Help us not to give in to their mockeries. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us not to be downtrodden. Help us to look to you." In verse 14, the second thing he does, it says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, "Be ye not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." So what he says is, hey, he goes before the people and he says, hey, do you remember who God is? Do you remember what God can do? Do you remember the abilities that God has? We don't have to worry about the oppressions of man. If God be for us, who can be against us? We can follow God and know that we're doing the work of God. We're not doing our own work. We're not doing our own thing. It's God. And we don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to worry about oppressions. Anything that comes our way has to first go across the desk of Almighty God. He has to approve everything. And so we don't have to worry about the attacks of the devil. We don't have to worry about the things that are going to happen in the future. We have a great, I love election years in the fact that we have an opportunity to cast our vote. And we have an opportunity as Christians to make our voice known. But no matter who wins the election this next year, it doesn't matter who it is that's in the White House upcoming, we have the same God that we've always had. And we have the same opportunity we always have to preach the word. And we don't have to count on those things to be whether or not we're going to do his will, whether or not we're going to continue in his work. We just have to do what God has for us to do. And in verse 15, we see the response of the people. It says, "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." So the opposition, the ridicule had come, and they had overcome it. They had said, "We're not going to listen to it. We don't care what they say. We know we have the right. We know God has given us this work to do, and we're going to do this work for his honor and for his glory." And so what had happened? Chapter 6, verse 15. After all the work, after all the ridicule, after doing it together in unity, knowing this was the main thing that we want to do, the focus that we have, 6:15 says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, in 52 days." 52 days, they put a wall around over 200 acres of land to protect them. Like I said, a wall was very important for a biblical city. And it was a great work. It was a great work for them to do, to have Jerusalem, to have a wall around it. But the wall that this church has to do is greater. The importance of what we're doing as the Lighthouse Baptist Church has more importance. What we're doing is we're telling people about Jesus Christ. We're telling them that God is the only way to heaven, that Jesus is the only way they can know God. And we're telling them the gospel. So as important as a wall was for a city, the work of the Lighthouse Baptist Church is greater because it's something that it lasts for eternity. So we have to do God's work. We want to do God's work. Just like their work was important because it was God's work, our work is important because it's God's work at our church. Yeah. So how did it happen? How did it go from that? Because God's people were serious about doing God's work. God's people were serious about doing the work God had for them. I don't know what God has for you to do this next year. And you might not know what God has for you to do this next year. But he has something for you to do. He has something for you to do if you're a member here at this church. Lighthouse Baptist Church, if you're here, he wants you to do something in his work. We have a great work ahead of us. And we don't know when our time's going to be done. It took them 52 days. The end of ours is whenever Jesus comes back. But we have God's work to do, just like Nehemiah's and his people had work to do. So this next year, let's do God's work.